Welcome back to the 2020 podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we're going to be speaking to an amazing young female Muslim actress. She only wants to be perceived a certain way, and you're going to find out what that is. So why don't we just give her a call and let's see what she has to offer you. And here we go. Hey, it's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Did you hear my interview with Zohan Rahman? She was the Muslim character on Spider-Man.
I do know about her, but I don't think I watched that interview. I'm sorry.
She corrected me on a lot of things, so if I didn't learn my lesson on pronouncing names, be sure and correct me right after.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so we're going to start with your name. I think you pronounce your name Iman Rizwan.
Yes, spot on.
Really? Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So right now you live in the District of Columbia, Washington, right?
Actually, I live in Elkridge, but it's very close to Washington, D.C., so it kind of counts in the same area.
Okay, and how old are you?
I'm 17. I'm turning 18 in September.
Oh, wow. Ha-ha, coming up, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, so that film you were in, the name of the film was...
Noor. Point in the film was that the character Noor, she's very in on herself. You see that when she comes to the school on the first day, everyone's pronouncing her name wrong, and she's, like, not confident enough to correct them.
Right.
But towards the end of the film, like, when everyone's like, oh, hey, Noor, she's like, oh, it's Noor.
Back on the history of the making this film, what part did you get involved? Were you there from the very beginning where they got the funding and you had to go to story lab and development lab, or were you cast later?
I was cast later. The director, she put out a casting call, and I, like, lost my mind when I saw it. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I'm pretty sure I threw my phone because it was so perfect. It was filming in my area. It was in my age bracket, and it was casting for a Muslim girl, and I was like, hold on.
Finally!
So I wasted no time. I applied, and my director, like, was so excited to have me. And my director and I, we were, like, so close. I really miss her. She was great to work with. So I applied for that, and I got a call back. I actually couldn't go to the audition because my parents both work, and I was, like, 14 at the time. But then I submitted it online and I got the role, and the script was already written, but my director, she talked it over with me and we, like, changed a few parts together, but I was involved from that part on, and it was great. It was a great experience.
Right, but did you know the history and all the things they had to go through just to
yes,
get the funding?
Yes, actually. So the Saul Zaints Fund, it's like a kind of like a pool. So everyone writes their thesis and you submit it. And my director was actually a student at JHU MICA, and this was her graduating credit. This was, like, a very important project for her. My director, she's actually from Lebanon. She wanted to create a project that was giving back to her community, that was kind of dealing with lightheartedly with the situations that you see in your own community. So she created this film. She's felt like she was kind of, like, not completely in touch with the culture of other Muslims, because, you know, there's a variety. Like, Muslims are global. There's so much culture and ethnicities involved. But yeah, there was a part in there, and I had to learn to speak Arabic, because Arabic varies from place to place. She had to actually ask her mom to help her with writing the Arabic parts in the script. So it was a very diverse amount of people contributing to the story. It was very nice.
That's cool, because my best friends are Egyptian and they're always, like, speaking Arabic, and we were in a movie and I said, hey, can you write this out for me? And he wrote it out in Arabic then. But I know what you're saying, because an Indian Muslim could be a lot different than, what, a Pakistani Muslim?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Indian Muslims, like, I have a lot of family in India and they are pretty similar, but, you know, it's different. Like, you live in an entirely different place, like, it's an entirely different environment. But, you know, we understand each other's differences, which is the important part, and we're kind of, like, united with, like, the same kind of community, which is being Muslim.
Yeah, I like the way that any day how they dress up with all the makeup, with all the bling bling.
Oh, the brides. Yeah, yeah.
You have a picture like that on your backstage profile. Earlier, you said JHU, so that's the Johns Hopkins University, and that special fund was right there in Baltimore. You must have lived right there in Maryland. And then the casting came up. It was like all the stars aligned perfectly for you.
Yeah, it really was. Like, I mean, it was like, I didn't get an audition for, like, a really long time after that, but, like, it was great. It was, like, the best thing ever.
Right. Does that help you out? Because you have that footage now of you actually being the lead actress. Like, hey, I can do this.
Like, I've had a lot of agencies, like, reach out to me because of it, but it never really works out. In Maryland, my area, the only issue I really have is getting representation, because we really only have modeling agencies here, and, like, they're pretty much scams. So a lot lot of them like reached out to me for it because it did play in festivals. Like it played internationally in Canada, it played in New York, North Carolina, Georgia. I got to go to the New York one, but the other ones were really far away, so I couldn't.
But so realistically, what's the plan? So you are going to have to go to college for like 4 to 6 years, right?
Yeah. Right now, I'm a rising senior in high school, so I am planning on attending college in Maryland, but I am planning to be a little bit more active in my acting career. So I'm going to have my own car and I'm going to be able to drive myself a little bit further in the DMV area because we do have really good opportunities here. So sometimes it doesn't line up with what I have to do. I just like really want to be working actively as an actor. I really want to get representation. I've actually gotten a few auditions recently because backstage and stuff. So yeah, that's the plan, hopefully. And I plan to stay on college as well. I'm doing pre-med. I was supposed to be working as an EMT for an internship, but then like the whole virus thing happened. So I do want to get an education because it is very important to me. But acting is also one of my passions. So I want to keep it as something I'm actively working on throughout college as well.
Right. So when, you know, you pick up a little drama class while you're at college, you can still do medicine in college, right? There's a few plays while you're there, right?
We have a lot of theaters here that are really good to be involved in.
Because you would work, like in New York and LA, you would totally work. But realistically, all the stuff that goes along with that, 4 years go by, what's going to happen at the end of the 4 years versus you actually going to college, getting a degree where you can go out and get a job making a real six figures instead of maybe making it a little bit here. Oh, you made $20,000 this year. What? I could drive Uber and do that.
I really did wish that I got into the industry a little bit earlier because I have been wanting to be involved in acting since I was 12 years old, so it's been 6 years almost, but I never knew anyone. I had no connection. My parents, they're like, what? Why can't you just be a doctor?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little bit of me and a little bit of you. We're going to compromise.
They're like, I mean, like, as long as your studies aren't affected, they're in supportive of it, but I'm like taking my time with it.
That's awesome. And on the set, there's a lot of downtime. It's not like you're working 24/7, you know, most of it is not working. So you have all that time in your trailer to do all your studying. Nobody's bothering you. You've already got color coded. You're already hair and makeup. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
You'll be going to college, but you'll have some type of control of your life, right? You got to do it now because all of a sudden you're getting studies and you're going to be in medicine. Once you get a job, you know, those shifts are 12, 14 hours. There's going to be no time to go into set.
Yeah.
On the letter that you did, right? You said that you wanted to talk about your experience being a young Muslim minority in the film industries. What do you have to say about that?
It's very bittersweet, even just as it is. Like, even I'm not really like an outspoken actor, but there's a lot of people that have a lot of things to say about you. It always has to do with that fact that you don't belong there, which is like baffling to me because the film industry isn't just for a specific person. It's for everybody, I think. And I've walked into audition rooms and I've read it and they're like, okay, that was cool, but if we want you for the role, will you do it without your scarf? And I'm like, no, I would like to keep it on. And then they're like, okay, cool. Don't call us back. That type of stuff, it still happens. I still hear like a lot of comments that like, but do you seriously think that? Like, so we've got some progress to make, but I think we have come a long way. You know, I don't really see many actors who are not only just Muslim, but also actually wear the hijab like me. I hope that getting myself out there, like help people feel confident enough to do the same, because I definitely know that when I wanted to start acting, I was so scared because it was something I've never seen someone like me doing. Obviously, I know the type of backlash you receive, so I just want people to feel more accepted in an industry where they should have been accepted to start with.
Yeah, sometimes that could be like really mean, because I remember like all my ethnic friends at one time were working, my black friends, my Asian friends, my Hispanic friends, and I was really told this in an audition. They go, Johnny, you're just too white. But I said, that was like 15, 20 years ago. I recently, before the COVID, I was getting back on the set just as an extra, just to check it out. And everyone's really nice now.
Yeah, everyone is really nice now. You know, there's still a little bit to go. Just love it.
Right, because even Bella Hadid, she doesn't wear the hijab, right?
Yeah, no, she doesn't. I don't think she is Muslim. I think she's just from the Middle East, so it's like a part of her culture.
I can't believe how many followers she has on Instagram. She's the number one person on Instagram.
Yeah.
So any part you're going to take, you're going to wear your hijab?
Yes, I want to do that, yeah.
Okay, so you're making a choice as an actor. Those are the roles you want to play, right?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of it has to do with costuming. If the production team is willing to think outside of the box. So many films you see, like Marvel, you take for an example, a lot of the character design is, it's more conceptual, it's sci-fi, fantasy, like that stuff is so easy to play with. Like me wearing a scarf is very easy to incorporate into a costume that isn't traditional. It doesn't even have anything to do with the character being a Muslim. If they are, that's great. But like, you know, like I feel like if people were really willing to work with people who wear the scarves to kind of like understand their boundaries, they could create like beautiful characters, beautiful stories. Like it could be realistic or totally sci-fi or fantasy or anything, but I really don't think it changes anything, in my opinion. I feel like it just puts in a real part of the world in your film or your project.
Well, that's actually really good. I like that answer, because I was totally thinking, yeah, it doesn't matter if you have the hijab on or not, because that's who you are, and that's kind of what America is now. In any high school, it's just normal. It's not like weird. So you could actually play the normal American part, and if you wanted to, you could say, okay, give me your stereotypical...
Typical part, I feel like with Hollywood, it's done enough damage. Like, I'm watching Iron Man, I love Iron Man, and then, like, the stuff I see in the first film, like, I feel uncomfortable with it. And I feel like if they did ask me to do something stereotypical, I would say no, because I do not want more of that, like, clouding the industry. Because I know growing up, like, that type of stuff directly affected me because of the people who consumed that media and had no idea that it was wrong. So I would never want to be a placeholder or a distributor of that stereotype. So yeah, I would tell them no. I know it sounds really righteous right now, but I think I'd like to think I wouldn't do that.
It could be the same thing like an African American guy. They say, yo, we want you to play this drug dealer. We got some weed and some blunts. He's like, whoa, no. I'm not contributing to that. I'm the detective who's going to bust that guy. I'm going to be the police chief. I'm going to be the lawyer. So you're saying the same thing, basically, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a Pinterest account?
A Pinterest account? I do, but I have not logged in a while.
So it has all those like nice cartoon characters, or I don't know what you call it, but then I notice when you're on your Instagram page, you click it and it goes to, is it like a short story? It kind of has the same anime. Am I correct on this? Is it kind of the same?
Oh, yes. So that was actually a web comic that I drew and created. I was recently working on it, but I got a little bit busy, so the updates are a bit short. So it's a webtoon and it's my own story called Chrysalis. I created it and it's about a detective. It has a lot to do with her personal like inner conflict, and it's very cool.
We were just talking about that, you know? I'm gonna play the superhero. I'm gonna play this character. So great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I actually also, aside from that, I love art. I've been doing art since like I can remember. Like everything's self-taught. I don't think I've ever taken the class, but I do love it so much. I actually have my own comic superhero. Her name's Zenobia, and she's a Muslim hijabi girl like me. I created her because when I actually got into acting was through Marvel movies, because they're so great. Like, you know, you want to be a part of it. And like, I started, you know, like you're like a little 12-year-old kid. Obviously, you see that and you like start daydreaming. And I was thinking, I was like, wow, like this is so cool. Like, I want to be a part of this. But then I was like, wait, pause. Like, what character would I play? There are no characters that look like me in this universe. So like, you know, I do read the comics. So I was like sifting through it and all the characters are like stereotypical or not there. So I was like, you know what? I'll just make my own.
So before you got that film part, when did you take Wendy Allen Wright's course online?
Oh, it was after the movie. When I got the movie, I had no acting experience at all. It was my first role ever, my first audition. But yeah, after that, I started like expanding more onto it, because like being on set, it was a wonderful experience. Like it was so tiring and everyone was like overworked. It was, I got back home and I collapsed and I was sitting down to tie my shoes, but it was beautiful. Like I loved every second that I was there. I would do anything to be there again. And like I just knew this is what I wanted to do. Like this is what I want to keep doing. And one thing that really stuck with me, like a little bit after they released the trailer and the poster for it on Facebook, obviously like my dad shared it, so like my billion family members all saw it, and like all the way in Pakistan and over here, so like they were all like talking about it. And so like we later went to like a family dinner, like a family reunion gathering thing, and I had a distant relative, they were visiting, and they came over to me and they were like, oh my god, I saw the thing you're doing. And I was like, wow, fine. finally someone who represents us. That was like, that stuck with me. Like, she looked so happy, and I was, I want to do this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes you feel good. Like when a mom writes me and says, interview you did with my daughter. I've never heard her like that before. Thank you. I mean, just, she was so excited and you pulled it all out of her. Thank you so much. Or even just thank you for interviewing me. No one's ever said such thing. And I'm just like, wow. And then I'm like, I guess I'll keep doing it.
Like, it's like you're doing something for someone else for once. Like, I like that. I don't know. This is me, but I like that.
So where would be the best place for people to find more information about you online?
For me, I'm actually working on a website, but I do have an IMDb page. So you just have to type up my name and it's there. To contact me, my Instagram would be the best, because I use that more frequently. And I have a lot of online modeling bookings that I'm dealing with right now, because like that's like what's happening right now because of the virus. Like, that's all they're doing. So I think my Instagram would be the best place to reach me.
What's your Instagram name?
It's Pokemon. Like, it's so cringy. Like,
I'll spell it. Pokeimaann. And if you go there, you'll see some of the most beautiful pictures you've ever seen. I mean, they are just gorgeous.
Thank you.
So is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
Yeah, this was a great experience. Thank you so much for talking with me. I had so much fun. And I'm so glad that there's people out there like you who are so understanding and welcoming. This is really great.
Well, thank you for being on my show. You have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wow, what an amazing, fun interview. If you would like more information on Iman Rizwan, her Instagram account is Pokemon, and you spell that Pokeimaann. I suggest you go there and look at all the nice pictures and how artsy they are and how beautiful they are. We'll also put a link inside the description area to her backstage profile. Now, moving on, Actors 2020 podcast, as of today, is number 2. We've only been number 2 a few times. We've never been number 1, and that is our goal by the 100th episode. It's only 4 episodes away. Let's see if we can get there. We'd appreciate it if you go to Actors 2020 podcast in the upper right-hand corner where it says join or sign in, use your email address or Facebook, and then while you're there, you can embed the show right there on your website. You can follow, you can like, you can share, you can download, you can also leave a comment and or review. If you don't want to do it on our page at Actors 2020 Podcast, you can just listen to it any of the hundreds or thousand places out there on the internet. But please, just take the time out for this free podcast to leave a review, a simple like. But we would appreciate it if you did it on our website, actors2020podcast.com. Thank you. And if you're listening to this before August 12th, be sure to tune in to Cassandra Ballard on Marvel Shield, the final season finale. Coming up next, we have Sierra Chagan, Hallie Ralston, 3 newbies, and a very special person for our 100th episode. That wraps up episode 197. I'm Johnny Keith, your host of Actors2020Podcast.com. Time for the lesson. Listen, learn, because here comes the lesson. Lesson 1. Everybody sit down, JK's gonna take you for a ride uptown. Ayo, this is the story of the Hollywood game. Choose your path careful, you're the only one to blame when it comes to things that you don't know. Stick to the rules and just say no, because you're young, you're eager, you're want in the movies. Don't think you'll get there by giving up your beauty. They'll use you, abuse you, throw you out like trash. And then you'll discover that you're out of cash. Now your heart, your soul is somewhere on the shelf, and you're walking through the streets now talking to yourself. The lesson. Well, you heard lesson 1, it's time for lesson 2. You have a choice, and the choice is up to you. I came to Hollywood to be a rich and famous star, but for now I'm waiting tables and I'm tending someone's bar. Pictures, classes, agents, where the heck does it all end? Every time I turn around, I'm starting over again. I finally got a break with a 5 line and under. My life was starting to roar like lightning and thunder. The phone rings, hello, I'm cast in a pilot. My life's been out of control just like an LA riot. I walked off the set, said to heck with this old man. The phone's not even ringing and my life is in the can. The lesson. Yep, final lesson here, of course it's number 3. Now remember, I'm an actor to be or not to be. When the going got tough, I climbed into the bottom. I'm back on my feet now, revving my throttle on the climb to the top. It's the same old games, but now I'm kicking butt and I'm taking some names. Clawing, scraping, screaming, it was a long, hard crawl, but it was all worth it. I'm a box office draw, opportunity was there and I took it with a punch. Not now, baby, but let's do lunch. There's a big piece of pie and you should grab your portion. And you can be like me and join fame and fortune. Boom! That's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Go and learn it. Thank you for tuning in to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Key. Until the next episode. Bye-bye.